This is a big week for our congregation as we have Vacation Bible School beginning this evening at 6 o'clock, and as Mike said, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening through Thursday. And we do have classes for all of our ages, and we're looking forward to our speakers in our adult classes. Three have been here before, two have not, at least while I've been here. This evening, Scott Ballard from the Burbles Chapel Church of Christ will be speaking. And the theme of this week, as far as our adult class, is my favorite sermon from. And then we'll begin in Matthew, and Scott tonight will preach my favorite sermon from Matthew. Tomorrow night, Andy Conley will speak on my favorite sermon from Mark. On Tuesday evening, Brian McAllister has been with us before from Centerville. He will talk about his favorite sermon from Luke. Charles Ball hasn't been here since I've been here, but Charles preaches at the Gulletsville congregation Wednesday evening. He'll talk about his favorite sermon from John. And then the final night, Dan Chambers from the Concord Road Church in Brentwood, who's been with us before, he will talk about his favorite sermon from the book of Acts. So look forward to their presentations, and look forward to our children learning so many valuable lessons in their classes in the back of the building this week. So encourage your friends and family and to be with us. I think we're probably the only ones in the area with our Vacation Bible School being this week, and hopefully that'll help us a little bit. I'll bring some others to be with us, and so be making your plans in that regard. Usually don't want to point out people from the pulpit for any number of reasons, but I do want to mention Ryan Mash and Keeley Hampton have been with us for quite a while, and I don't like to mention names because they just get embarrassed when I do that, but anybody's name. But they were married about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I believe, so that's Ryan and Keeley Mash now, and so we're thankful they're with us, and I did want to mention that just to let you know also a bit of announcement in regard to them, and we're so thankful they've been with us. I've known Keeley and her family for a long time, and thankful that again, that they're with us and part of our congregation. And I'm thankful for all of you and all the things that have been going on lately. And as we said earlier, keep those who are sick and cannot be with us in your prayers as well. Let's bow together before we begin our lesson. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for abundant blessings. We are thankful for life. We are thankful for every good and perfect gift that you've given us. We know that you love us, and we worship you and express our love for you in the only ways that we can. We know that our words are insufficient. We know that our lives are insufficient for salvation, but we're thankful that through Christ we can be saved. And in our obedience to him and to the gospel, that his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness and allows us to live forever in heaven. We are thankful for that place that's been prepared for us, that is free from hurt and disease and pain and all those things that make this life difficult on earth. We pray that you bless Ryan and Keeley and their life together, and pray that you draw them closer to you each day as they draw closer to one another. And we pray that you bless their family. We also pray that you bless those who are hurt, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually this morning. We know there are many burdens represented among our number, and we pray that those burdens be lifted, that you ease their pain and guide them during this time of trial. Bless our Vacation Bible School this week. May all that is said and done be to your glory and according to your will. May our speakers present lessons that are beneficial, and that they have safe travels and being with us, some driving from quite a distance to be here. We know we have so many good, faithful servants here at Pleasant View, and we pray that you bless all of us as we strive to do your will. We know this world is filled with many temptations. We pray that you show us the way of escape so that we can do what's right and do things that are pleasing, and that we shine a bright light into this dark world. Bless our study this morning, and may all that we study penetrate our hearts so that we may grow in the likeness of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Before I can remember, but the story goes, I was in the world. My family was getting the car together, getting the car packed to go on a vacation. Everything was packed. And we were getting in the car and, you know, in the hustle and bustle and who's got this and who's got that. And we got everything and so on and so forth. All the doors slam, and in one of the doors is my mother's thumb. Boom. In the driveway, we haven't even left, and we've got a bad thumb. So she was shaking it and hurt and all that sort of thing. And Dad said, let's go into this. She said, no, let's just get on the road. We're ready to go. It's going to be fine, so on. Well, as is the case with a nail, it was bleeding underneath the nail, and the pressure was building up, and it got hurting more and more. And my dad said, well, here, I'll fix that. He reached and got his pocket knife. And she said, absolutely not. I know where that knife has been, or at least I think I know most of the places where that's been used. No way on earth you're going to use that on my thumb. And he said, if you just release the pressure, it'll bleed out, you'll be fine. No. So they get a little further down the road, and it hurts more and more, and they get to the first stop on the vacation, and she's in the motel, and the dad said there was a pharmacy not pretty close by, and he said, well, I'll just go and ask the pharmacist what he thinks. And so they went in there together, actually, and went up to the counter, and she said, look, your situation, is there anybody nearby that can take care of this? And the pharmacist looked down, and he said, well, really not anything you can do about it. He said, the only thing I would suggest is if your husband has a pocket knife, he could go to work on this. And of course, Dad just laughed the whole way back to the motel room. And so, sure enough, that resolved the problem. She finally let him do that, and everything was fine. We're pretty good at plan A in life. Plan A that day was getting the car ready, getting everything packed and planned, and the day you're going to leave, and what you're going to wear, and where the kids are. That's plan A. When plan B happens, that's when you really find out what you're made of. That's where your character comes out. What you believe in, where your faith is, comes into play during plan B. Anybody can do plan A. Plan A is what we want to do. Plan A is what we plan. Plan A is the way we want things, where we want things to be, how we want them to be done, and so on and so forth. Everyone does that. But very few people are good at plan B. I think people, employers, want to hire good plan B people. They want to hire people that do well during times when of disruption, when things go bad. They want good plan B people. This morning, I want us to look at what the Bible tells us happens to everybody. Plan A. Things that everybody will face. And throughout this lesson, though, I want us to highlight and notice where God really wants us to be plan B people, wants us to do the next thing in order to be saved, and not just be one of the people that just experiences the plan A and leaves it there, leaves it alone, and expects everything to be fine spiritually. What are the plan A things that we face in life every day? Well, we know that we are all subject to aging. That's one thing we all have in common. We're all getting older. Now see, plan A, when it comes to getting older, plan A is, well, you just get older. One day leads to the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next week, and the next month. You just kind of get older. But plan B people look at that and say, James told us toward the end of the Bible, you know, that life is but a vapor, here it's here for a little time and then vanishes away. See, a plan B person says, I know that my days are getting really shorter and I'm heading toward the end of my life and I need to be prepared to see the Lord. It was in Romans chapter 15. Paul said, we're closer to salvation than when we began. And he was just simply saying, when you began, when you were converted, that was here. But as we keep living, we're getting closer and closer to salvation. The Apostle Paul was aware of this. He was always talking about the end of his life. He was talking about, he said, my citizenship is in heaven. I know that that's where I truly live as a Christian, and it's not here for eternity. But the length of my existence, the overwhelming majority of my life is going to be in heaven. And I know every day that I live, I get closer to that. Plan A, you just live your life and go about things. But plan B, people say, I know my days are short. I'm going to use them to please the Lord and think about judgment. Plan A, the Bible says that everyone on earth is accountable to the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, Paul said that the Gentiles are aware of God just by looking at the world around them. Even those people are aware that God exists. He said His divine attributes are clearly seen in what is made. His divine nature and His power, clearly seen. Everybody in this world can look around them and see the world that God made. He's evident in front of them. He shows them His handiwork every single day. It's almost as if, you know, you can look at this Lord's Supper table. It sits every week, it's there. It would be silly for somebody to come in this building and they say, well, what Lord's Supper table? And you say, well, it's right there. Well, I don't see it. And looking at that table, I don't think anybody made it. I think it just sort of happened that way. The size of it, the wood that it's made of, the dimensions of it, I just think it just, one day it just appeared. Well, we would send that person to the hospital. We would try to diagnose their mental problem. People all over the world, God is putting Himself by the things He made right in front of them every day, and they're looking at it and saying, well, no, I don't think that was made by anybody. I think it just sort of happened. And well, if you had enough years, just millions and billions of years, we'll just make it long enough to where that can eventually be the case. And you can imagine the way God must feel about that attitude. But see, all people in the world are accountable. God has put Himself right in front of them. The Word was preached throughout the world. It says in 1 Timothy 2:4, it is God's will that all come to a knowledge of the truth. So see, when it plan A, people, again, just see all of this and say, well, I don't think God is real. I don't think God made anything. Plan B, people say, I see all that. And therefore, I believe in God. And I can see someone a lot bigger than me and a lot stronger than me, a lot smarter than me. And I realize that I need to do His will. The end of the book of Ecclesiastes says, the conclusion of the whole matter is this. The man that had written that book and tried everything in life, he says, to fear God and to keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's a plan B person, who sees this and says, now I need to serve the one who made all of these things. I need to devote myself to Him. Look, if He made this, He made me, and I need to serve Him. Every person, and this one's going to sound strange. This is going to sound strange when I say it, but you got to bear with me. Don't fire me till after I explain it. Everybody is going to believe in God and Jesus, His Son. Now, you instantly say, that's not true, and I would agree with you. If I heard somebody say that, I'd say, well, obviously it's not true. Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are those who find it, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and a few find it. Everybody's not going to believe. That doesn't make any sense. Well, actually, they will one day. The Bible tells us that. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11 says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Son of God. See, there will be a day when they'll do that. There'll be a day when this world ends, when they're aware of who the Lord is, and they will finally say that. It will be too late, of course, for those that go on the broad way of destruction. But when it's all clearly seen, when their life is put in front of them in judgment, they won't argue. Paul said in that day, they're not going to hold on to their disobedience and still deny who God is. They won't do it then. He says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. See, that's plan A. Plan A is you just live your life and wait till that moment when there's nothing you can do about your salvation. When you say, oh, yes, then I believe. See, anybody can do that. Plan B people say, I know that the judgment day is coming. I know that is in the future. I'm not going to wait till my fate is sealed. I'm going to confess Christ in this life. I'm going to obey Jesus now. I'm going to bow a knee before him. I'm going to confess him because Jesus said, whoever confesses my name before men, I will confess his name before the Father in heaven. I think the plan B person says, I have to live for him now and live faithfully and obey the gospel and take advantage of these days before I face judgment. Everybody will fear hell. That's plan A. People joke in this life that somebody's so bad, they're going to enjoy it. They live an existence, they live a life that is alike, we would say, hell on earth. Meaning their life is so bad, criminal behavior, an abused childhood, homelessness, all the things, you know, it can't be any worse than this. So if they ever face hell itself, the real one, then they'll just go along with it. It can't be any worse than this life. And that's a very naive view of what hell is all about. If you read what the Bible says about hell and its darkness and its fire, and yes, fire can be dark if God makes it that way. He could make a burning bush not be consumed. I think he can make fire create darkness. About fire and darkness and gnashing of teeth, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, a place completely void of the presence of God forever. Nobody on this earth has experienced something like that. I don't care what kind of life they've lived. Everybody will experience the fear of hell. Either they do it now and adjust their lives accordingly, or they don't and they live it. And they finally do experience it one day. The plan B person says, I know about hell and I don't want to live there. I don't want to be in a place that's prepared for Satan. Everybody thinks about eternity. Plan A people always think about eternity. I've been to so many funerals, as you have as well. Probably can't even calculate how many funerals you've been to. I've never been to a funeral that doesn't discuss eternity. Doesn't matter if the person is ever faithful in their life. Doesn't matter if they're a Christian or not. Closest I ever came to a place that didn't discuss heaven was a Jewish funeral, which they don't really discuss too much about eternity in the Jewish faith. But 99% are talking about heaven. They're talking about eternity. If you went down to the airport this afternoon in Nashville and you just closed your eyes and pointed to a city and got on a plane and went to that city and got out and walked around, you're going to see people worshiping something. Either they do it in a building, they do it somewhere, they might dress up to do it in certain uniforms or garments, they have their rituals, whatever it is. And you get on another plane, you go to another part of the world, it may be entirely different, but you're going to find people everywhere on this earth that are all worshiping something and they're all thinking about eternity. That's plan A. They're all doing it, either verbally or not verbally, whatever the case may be. In Acts chapter 17, Apostle Paul is preaching in Athens, Greece, in that great sermon. And he wanted them to think about eternity. He was in a city there in Athens. He said, I can see that you're very religious in all respects and that you have an idol just to about everything. And he said, there's one that has an inscription to an unknown God. He says, you've worshipped everything, and then if there's one that's been, you've left out, so you have one that says to an unknown God, the one we don't even know. So he said, I'll teach you about the one you don't know. And then the whole sermon really is about saying, if you're thinking about eternity, which everybody does, you need to think about the real God. And he goes on in the sermon, he said, it's not a God that you build things for, you build idols for, and you serve him with hands. He said he doesn't need all of those things, the things like you make that are all around this city. He says, in him we live and move and have our existence. He made every person on earth and the boundaries of their habitation. He said he put you on, he made you, he put you on the earth. He knew where you were going to live, where you were going to be, and he's everywhere. And you don't even know him. And then he ends the sermon by saying, since this is the God you don't know, well, guess what? He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through the Son in whom he has appointed, Jesus Christ the righteous. So you're going to be judged one day, not by that God that you build an idol to, and not by that one, but by the true God. That's going to be the case with every person on earth today. They're worshiping all of these other gods, worshiping all these other people, worshiping themselves. They're all thinking about eternity, plan A. They're just thinking about it. But the next step, the plan B person says, I'm going to worship the only true God, the only begotten Son of that God. I'm going to be faithful to him till death, Revelation 2:10. And I know, as Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that he will give to me. Everyone is going to make a choice in life, whether they're plan A people or plan B people. Which one are you going to choose? Jesus made that very clear at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them, see? Plan A, plan B. Whoever hears these words of mine, it's plan A. Everybody in the crowd just listening to what Jesus said? Well, that's nice. Jesus didn't just say, whoever hears what I'm saying. He said, whoever hears these words of mine, plan A, and acts on them, plan B, may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And we know all the storms came and he was fine. Whoever does not hear these words of mine, plan A, does not act on them. Whoever hears these words, plan A, and does not act on them, meaning you just do plan A, just hear, but you don't do anything, maybe compared to the foolish man who built his house on the sand, the storms came, the house was destroyed, and great was its fall. Are you going to be plan A person or a plan B person? Are you going to be someone who just knows that God exists and does nothing? Are you going to be the person who waits till judgment to bow his knee before God? That'll be too late. Are you going to be the plan A person that just knows about hell but doesn't adjust their life to avoid that place? Are you just going to be the person who thinks about eternity but really does nothing in which to live forever in heaven? The world is full of that type of person. And really the gospel, when Jesus commissioned the apostles to go in all the world, really that the message was to do the next thing. He said, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations. Then he said, baptizing them, teaching them. And I'm going to be with you even to the end of this age, this Christian age that we're living in. Interesting statement to make, considering he was about to ascend to heaven and saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm sure they might have been a bit confused by that. But he said, I'm going to go, but I'm still going to be with you. The Lord is always with us today. When you're afraid, when you don't want to do it, this or that, when you think you can't go through this and make it through that, and as difficult as things can be, and life can be extremely difficult, Jesus said, I'm still with you. Romans 8 says nothing separates us from the love of God. We overwhelmingly conquer in all of these things that we face because of the love that God and his Son gives us. Plan B people are those who are faithful, those who live for the Lord, those who obey the gospel, those who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. It's a shame there are even those today that claim to be Christians, and the entire extent of their Christian life and the entire extent of their faithfulness is their ability to wake up on a Sunday morning, get in their car, drive to a building for a couple of hours, and go home. When I read the New Testament, I don't see faith as being that simplified and that separated from a true mental and heartfelt devotion to God. But some have made it so in their own lives, giving no thought, changing their life in no way on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and defining for themselves, well, I'm a faithful person. because I was able to give God a couple of hours one day a week because I went to a certain place. It's a shame. Those aren't Plan B people. Those are just Plan A. This morning, you can be a Plan B person. So I know I've heard what the Lord did. I've heard what the message is. Now, I'm going to stop listening to it, and I'm going to obey it. That's what Jesus wants you to do. Jesus went to the cross so you would do that. Go to Him and be saved. Some of you may say, well, yes, I've been baptized into Christ. I've confessed Christ before men. I've done those things, but yet I'm not really faithful. I've convinced myself that I am, but I'm really not faithful. And what I do, where I go, what I say, how I treat people, the attitude I have toward people is not the way that the Lord would want me to be. Maybe that's your situation this morning. You have to evaluate your life every day, but also in this moment, and say, what do I need to do next for the Lord? What do I need to do now? If your need is to be baptized into Christ, we'll baptize you today. If your need is to ask for prayers, we can encourage you. We'll pray with you if that's your need. Whatever it is, please come now while we stand and sing.